Blog Talk Radio.
Spirit of Truth Ministry is delighted to bring you The Revelation of Jesus with Rick Sterling, where we test the beliefs of Christianity against the very words of Jesus that he gave his own eyewitness disciples. Join us for a unique and challenging study into truth, justice, and the kingdom of heaven. Welcome and good morning, everyone, to this marvelous March 21, 2020 day. We are delighted that you have taken a few minutes out of your busy day, staying safe from the COVID-19 virus to join us for the Revelation of Jesus with Rick Sterling. We have literally a Sterling program on tap for you today, and we encourage you. This is one of those programs that is a watershed or a defining point. So it would be very, very helpful if you could get on the phone, call your friends, and have them tune in. By the way, yesterday I was watching the monitoring the chat room, which I will again put up here in a few minutes, and we actually had quite a number of people listening in on the chat room yesterday, which is encouraging. So let's have prayer, and I forgot to give you the website. Our primary website is spiritoftruthministry.net, and there you will find our primer book, The Spirit of the Church by Rick Sterling and me, Dennis Neufeld, and all sorts of other good things to read. Father in heaven, Jesus Christ, Holy Spirit, thank you for granting us a peaceful and joyous day today as we come aside to learn of the kingdom of heaven, what it means to be in the kingdom, and how we should formulate our choices in this world so that we can be and have the choice that we desire for the next. I thank you for this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Believe it or not, everybody is actually here today on the phone. I am potting all of them up today. And so good morning, Larry.
Good morning.
Good morning, Don.
Good morning.
Good morning, Rick.
Buenos dias.
And we have a listener from 509. Would you like to say hi this morning? Okay, let's just get going, and we'll see what transpires. But given what happened yesterday and what we experienced, I think today is going to be a very special day.
Did you give the date, Dennis?
I did at the very beginning. It is March 21, 2020. I did it so
do you
slick
know
that you did.
Do you know what the Son of God came for?
Well, I know what he said to Pilate in John 18:37. He said,
yes, and I think we all know that because we talk about that a lot. Go ahead.
Right. For this reason, I was born, and for this reason, I have come into the world to testify to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth will hear my voice. And I think that last phrase, I think it would be appropriate to add the word already. There it is. It is implied. Everyone who is already of the truth, already seeking the truth, will hear his voice. And this is basically what you spoke about yesterday.
Right. And that's where I'm starting today. Is he said that everyone who is of the truth hears my voice. What did he say about my sheep?
Well, Don, this is kind of your basic.
He said, my sheep hear my voice. My sheep hear my voice. So what I am starting today with is where we left off yesterday, but we left off yesterday with a couple of related subjects. And that is the end of days reality and what that will be. And also the sheep, that there are different classifications of sheep, primarily at the time that the Good Shepherd was here calling his lost sheep, he had sheep that were of the sheep fold that he was calling. He had other sheep that were not of that fold, and he had sheep that were not his sheep. The difference between my sheep, what he called my sheep, and not my sheep, was simply this. When he said, my sheep listen and hear my voice, or listen for my voice and recognize my voice when I am speaking. Not my sheep hear me, but don't recognize me. So in other words, they hear the words that he was saying, but they do not accept those words. Now, that then leads us into the second part. So there were two reasons that he came, and the both reasons are directly related one to the other. So it's not like they're two separate, but one affects the other affects the one. That is this. Well, we see this in John 9, and that whole account of the man born blind is integral to our understanding of this whole, of the purpose for this whole process. In John 9, starting with verse 38, where the Son of God, for the man who was born blind, sees the Son of God, the one who gave him his sight for the first time. And the man says, Lord, I believe, and worshiped him. Jesus said, it is for judgment that I have come into the world. So judgment is the overall purpose. But what is judgment? When a trial is held, the first thing that they want to know is, what is the evidence? And so the evidence is provided by witnesses. The witnesses are expected to tell the truth of what they saw or what they heard or what they experienced. The judge listens to the witnesses on both sides of the argument, and then renders a decision based upon that. the Son of God came here to testify to the truth. And he said, I say only what my Father has given me command to say. So he's letting the people know, the God you worship told me what he wanted you to hear. So what I'm saying to you comes directly from him, and I heard this standing in his presence. I can verify to you that it is the truth, and the second witness, because you always need at least two witnesses to agree with the same account. The second witness is the Father. But how does the Father testify on behalf of the verity of his Son? Because the Father's in heaven and he's not there in the world to confirm that what his Son is saying is exactly what he told him to say. But his Son said is the wonders, the miracles, the signs that I do testify that my Father is with me. So the Father is not there in person to testify on his behalf, but the Father is giving him the ability to perform signs and wonders that no human being would be able to replicate. So there are two witnesses for the truth. He said, I came for judgment. His sheep hear his voice, and in the judgment they will be judged righteous. That he said, are not my sheep because they don't hear me. They don't listen to me. They don't obey the words that I'm saying. They're not judgment. They will be judged guilty of sin because they rejected the Savior who came to save them by giving them the truth. And if they would have accepted the truth, they would have been freed from slavery to sin and would have had eternal life. So in verse 40 of John chapter 9, hearing this, some of the Pharisees who were present said to him, we're not blind, surely. Jesus replied, blind? If you were, you would not be guilty. There's the judgment part. But since you say, we see, your guilt remains. So the point that he's making with them is, you continually refuse to acknowledge my testimony as being from God. You believe you have God's testimony, and you know that what you hold to be true is opposed to what I know to be true. And the fact that you keep telling me that I'm a liar and working for the devil, and that you are the only truth tellers, and that you are working on behalf of your God, and you uphold the law of Moses as your proof that I'm a liar, yet what you've done to the law of Moses is you've turned what God told Moses into a lie. But because it had been passed down from generation to generation to generation, all the way down to right there where they're standing in the presence of the Son of God, they had done what the law had become so powerful to them, had become the standard of truth for them, that they could look in the face of the Son of God and call him a liar and plot to put him to death. In going on further in John 10, and we read this yesterday, starting from verse 14, I am the good shepherd. Here's a key phrase now. I know my own. Now, he could have put sheep there, but he didn't. And I think that that is on purpose, although he's talking about the sheep, so it's implied. I know my own sheep, and my own sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. This is an incredible statement, because what he's saying is that my sheep know me as well as I know the Father, and they know the Father as well as I know the Father, and the Father knows me. So he has really put his sheep on a completely different level than all the rest. He says right here, every detail that I know about my Father and my Father knows about me, my sheep know about us. That sink in. Then he says, I lay down my life for my sheep. He doesn't say, I lay down my life for the sheep. He says, for my sheep. Then he says, there are other sheep I have that are not of this fold. Meaning that he's talking to the Jews right there, to the children of Israel. They were the ones called to be his sheep. He had led them out of Egypt. He had led them into the wilderness. He had given them the law and the sanctuary where the sanctification process was done in a visual representation. He had brought them into the promised land, and now here he was, their shepherd, their king, and they were refuting him. They didn't want him as their shepherd. They didn't want him as their king. And he says, And in here, if you understand the whole plan for all along was, is that through Israel, he was going to call the other sheep of the world, that they would recognize the God of Israel as the only true God, because Israel would be blessed. They would have peace and prosperity. They would not have diseases. No plagues, no famine. Everything would work out well for them. And the other nations would want to know about the God of Israel. Just like when Hezekiah and the shadow moved on the staircase, and in Babylon, the scientists there, the shadow on their giant sundial moved backward. And they were amazed, because that's never happened. I mean, they checked the history books and everything, and it had never happened. So they spent a lot of time trying to figure out how it happened. I mean, they asked the other kingdoms around them, you know, did you notice this? Oh, yeah, we did, but we don't know anything about it. Well, they finally got information back that it was because of the king in Israel. And they sent a big delegation over there, you know, the account. Right there, in just a little event, God demonstrated what his plan was, that through his marvelous works, the other nations would want to learn about him. Yet when the delegation arrived in Israel, Hezekiah got so full of himself that he wanted to show them that he wasn't just a little podunk ruler of a podunk nation. And he showed them the wealth of his kingdom, the wealth that Solomon had amassed. And of course, when they saw all the gold and everything,
This was wealth that was even to them unimaginable.
Well, yeah. I mean, they were so in awe when they saw all this gold that's what they took back to Babylon, which, of course, had some serious ramifications later. Now, go over in John 10, and we're going to start with verse 25. Jesus replied. Now, they had asked him, a question they had asked him many times. They said, how long are you going to keep us in suspense? Are you the Messiah or not? The reason they kept asking this is because their expectation of the Messiah was that he would come, he would overthrow the yoke of Rome, he would take his seat on the throne of David, rule over Israel, reunite the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom together, and they, the king of Israel, he would rule the world. But he didn't look like he was making any move that would indicate that's what he was doing. The things that he was saying certainly didn't indicate that that's what he would be doing. And the fact that the leadership kept bringing up that he was breaking the law, that he didn't keep the law of Moses. So they said, you know, tell us plainly. So Jesus replied, I told you, but you do not believe. The works I do in my Father's name are my witness. There it is. But you do not believe because you are no sheep of mine. The sheep that belong to me listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life. They will never be lost, and no one will ever steal them from me. The Father who gave them to me is greater than anyone, and no one can steal from the Father. The Father and I are one. And guess what they decided to do? They picked up stones. They were going to stone him on the spot. So here's what we know. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Isaiah 53:6, I believe. We all like sheep have gone astray. We all like sheep. Those of us, all of us, who have gone astray have a choice to make. Do we want to stay where we are? We have strayed from the truth, is basically what it boils down to. We've strayed from the truth. Our parents, our grandparents, our great-grandparents, you go way back. You can go all the way back to where the Son of God was right there, dialoguing with the leaders, the religious leaders in Israel. How is it that the sheep went astray? What would cause them? Did they hear the truth and didn't like the truth, and so they left the truth? No. They were kept from knowing the truth. Those who were in charge of informing the sheep of the truth are the shepherds. And I will say that today, the situation today is very much like the situation when the Son of Man taught and testified to the truth in front of the people. All of Israel were like sheep that had gone astray. Their shepherds were keeping them in the dark. The shepherds were the agents of lies. They were being used by the father of lies. Remember, that's exactly what the Son of God said to them when they said, "Our father is Moses. We've never been slaves of anyone." He said, "Anyone who sins is a slave of sin." And then he said, "The reason that you hate me is that you are of your father, the devil. He was a murderer from the beginning and the father of lies." So he's telling them that they are purveying the lies of their father, the devil. That's what's going on today. The priests and the chief priests and the scribes at that time were only following along with what they'd been taught by their teachers that had gone before them. And those teachers had been taught by teachers before them. This would go all the way back to the very inception of the teachers in Israel, to the very beginning of when they were in the wilderness and then entered the promised land. And the priests, the majority of the priests, were teaching lies. Lies that the devil knew if he could gain control of the narrative of the priests, he would keep the people in darkness. The sheep that had been led astray by shepherds that were not after God's own heart. Shepherds that were not telling the people the truth. And today is the same way. We have pastors, we have priests, we have imams, we have spiritual leaders, all presenting information. Problem is, none of that information is the truth. Now, there might be certain elements of truth, but truth is a whole. Truth isn't a little piece here and a little piece there and a little piece. All the truth does in a world of darkness is it doesn't really add anything to it. The darkness doesn't add anything to the light. When the Son of God began his ministry, there in Israel. What's interesting is that it was during a time in history that is called Pax Romanus. Do you know what Pax Romanus is?
It actually
Dennis,
means...
You know,
it actually
what?
Means peace across the empire. The Roman
peace
empire.
Across the Roman Empire, yeah. And the Roman Empire was what? In Daniel, you know, we read that it's this great and terrible beast, and it's, you know, smashing and thrashing and destroying and pretty much everything. Up until that time, there had been... Yes.
I was going to say, Roman culture was civilization at that time. The rest of the world was basically barbaric, and the Roman civilization was civilization. And this went from all the way from Gaul up, you know, modern day France and Britain, all the way down into Egypt and, you know, for instance, the Ptolemies were pharaohs. And both the Greek and the Egyptian empires were linked. So and they were linked through Rome. So it Pax Romana means just that. If you are a member of the Roman Empire, you will have peace.
That's right. There weren't wars of conquest going on. I mean, that's why they called it peace. Up until that time, it seems like it had been one war after the other. The spring equinox is recorded. There's a couple of places in the Bible where the kings would go off to war. So they would start their wars of conquest at the spring equinox, in hopes that they would have subdued whatever army that they were going up against before the winter snows or cold set in. Now, this occurred to me. The Son of God appears in Israel to start his ministry during a time of peace. Wouldn't that be a golden opportunity for the Messiah of Israel, who is wanting to bring in all the nations of the world to the full knowledge of the true God during a time of peace? I mean, most of the people, they're not in the army, they're, you know, soldiers and so on. I mean, it's a time of peace, and he's delivering his dialogue. The whole point of the decision was, if Israel had been ready with the truth already, that their priests and scribes had been telling them the truth all along, we would have seen a much different scenario happen. Now, look at today. What would you say about today, other than the virus thing going on? What would you say about today in regards to wars of conquest?
Well, they are dropping off the face of the earth, actually. The President of the United States is in the process, or has already gotten the United States out of all of the wars that they had been previously party to.
So would it be a time that would, right now, that, you know, given a little blip here or there, there's not huge wars going on. I mean, it, you know, we had we started with the Revolutionary War, just, you know, in recent history, so to say. the Revolutionary War, War of 1812, Spanish-American War, the Civil War,
World War One, World War Two, yeah,
Korea,
Vietnam,
and the Middle East, and so on. But right now, there really isn't any significant conflicts going on. And the one thing that we have been told that Donald Trump wants to do is he wants to put an end to all conflicts. And he wants to bring in peace and prosperity for the United States of America and the world. Does that sound to you like a lead up to what is described in Revelation? A one world government, a one world
order. And all of the pursuant death and destruction that goes along with that. Absolutely not. This is certainly not in that realm.
Now, this current pandemic has been brought on by the quote-unquote deep state, the deep state of the world. The virus has a patent number. The virus patent number was owned by the Microsoft Corporation. They in October of last year, they ran a simulation of a viral pandemic in New York, and guess who was behind it? Who was running the simulation? Johns Hopkins, which is funded by Bloomberg, Microsoft Corporation, and I can't remember the third one. Isn't it interesting? They run a viral pandemic of the coronavirus in October of last year. This is the deep state's last big push to get back on track. But it is failing, and it is going to fail. Why? Well, I talked yesterday about there being a good evidence of a life road indication in the book of Revelation. And that is found in Revelation chapter 10. And as I have pondered this over the last three or four or more months, it's becoming a little clearer each time I put in another puzzle piece, so to speak. There are clues God has given us that if you're paying attention, you will pick up on these clues. They will be very revealing. Yesterday, I talked about the message to the assembly in Philadelphia. I think that that message holds a piece of a clue. That is verse 10. And I've looked up the word, the key word. And I want to read to you the meaning of that Greek word, which is paradzo. And it is a word that means to try or to test. So I'm going to read this verse 10 of Revelation 3, and then I'm going to give you one of the a very good description of the meaning of this word. Because you have kept my commandment to endure trials, or to patiently endure, I will keep you safe, or keep you from the time of testing, which is going to come on the whole world to test, and there is that word, the people of the world. Now, here is a meaning. This is the second meaning. It's the one most commonly used. To try, make trial of, test for the purpose of ascertaining his quality, or what he thinks, or how he will behave himself.
And in the one that I have, it's listed as G3985 in Strong's. A primary word is scrutinize or examine.
Yes, that's exactly. So, you know, when we look at this in light of what we read in the book of Revelation, I mean, this is in the book of Revelation, and we see that I will keep you from the test that I am about to bring upon the whole world to test them. What it, because it's the same word that's being used for both. It's since, because you have kept my commandment to endure, I will keep you safe, or from, keep you from the time of trial. The idea that I understand from this is that there, this group of people being described in Philadelphia passes the test the whole world is going to have to pass. But they have passed it already before time of trial comes upon the whole world for them to have the same test. The difference is that these who endure patiently have already passed the test, but how? I mean, if it's not the pastors, if it's not listening to the pastors, that these people have decided they're going to listen to their pastor and what their pastor says, and that's how they have passed the test. Well, that doesn't make any sense, because all the pastors are saying the same thing, with a little variation, but basically the same thing. So, how do they do this? Well, Matthew 24:42-51. That is the only explanation that makes any sense. And I will give you the reasons for that statement I just made. According to that account in those verses, there is an individual who is placed over the household of God, the head of the house. And it is that person's responsibility to get the rest of the household in order, to get them ready so that when their master returns from his long absence, his house will be in order. There are two conditions. It's a life road, death road. It starts out with life road, death road. It stays life road, death road all the way through. If they are asleep, there wasn't a head of the house, because what the head of the house does is he wakes the rest of the household up from their slumber. It's a spiritual slumber. If he's not awake, he cannot wake up the rest of the household, and the master will come. The master is going to return at a specific time. And when he comes, does he find his household sound asleep, or does he find them awake? Well, from the information that we get from the rest of that, it sounds to me like the one who's been placed over the household is awake and has awakened the rest of the household, because as that information goes on, the head of the household is actually judged on patient endurance, continues feeding his fellow bondservants, giving them their food at the proper time. The master of that bondservant will come and find him at that work, and he will place him over all of his possessions. But the head of the house may have awakened all the other fellow bondservants, and he was feeding them and so on, but things were taking a lot longer than what he thought. And pretty soon he thought, you know, maybe I've really missed out here. I know that God is going to return, but it's probably going to be a long time from now. And he stops feeding his fellow bondservants. He goes back into the status quo of whatever he was in before, just going along with the flow, and it sounds like his bondservants, fellow bondservants that he was feeding, they don't quit, but he attempts to destroy them. Beat them is what it says. Says that the master of that servant will come day he does not know, an hour he's not aware of, and he will be cut to pieces and assigned a place with the hypocrites where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. I take from that part that the head of the house does wake up, and he does wake up his fellow bondservants. And he's doing what God wants him to do up to a point where he really has a difficult decision to make. That decision is, I've been doing this for a long time and there really hasn't been any change. In fact, he's looking for a particular time, maybe within a 2 or 3 months time, where he expects his master to return and start things going, and his master doesn't return. And he feels completely let down. Not only let down, but can't even think of the right word, ignored. That's not the right word, but I have to use it. Betrayed. Very good. Betrayed. But he doesn't allow that feeling to last. He says to himself, I know enough about God to know that whatever God does, he does for a good reason. And so he rethinks everything. And he comes up with a valid explanation for it. That happened to me in 2016. In the spring of 2016, it happened to me. In the fall of 2016, the answer for the delay came. At the time, I wasn't really aware of it. But as time went on, it became very clear to me. If the election in the United States had gone one way, we would have had a one world order, and we would have had hell on earth. We would have had this pandemic scare would have been a nightmare. Oh, we would have had this pandemic. Believe me, it was already in the works. It was already planned. But the woman didn't win. The man won. And he had planned the opposite course from what the woman had planned. In fact, I heard from one person who had a deep state contact. And he wanted to know from his deep state contact why the death and destruction wasn't now going to happen. And his deep state contact said, God intervened. God intervened. That's what he said. So here's what I'm going to say, because I know we're counting down to about 5 minutes left. Why did God intervene? God hasn't intervened before, that I'm aware of, in any significant way. Why did God intervene now? You know, why didn't he intervene in 1930s Germany or 1910, 11 Germany and England? Why didn't he intervene in 1860? Why didn't he intervene at any other time in the wars that I talked about before? Why didn't he intervene? There were a lot of people who wondered why he didn't intervene. I believe that he intervened this time because we are at the end of days. We were standing at the fork in one way went to death and destruction, and the other way went to peace and prosperity. And it totally depended upon the faithful and wise bondservant and what he decided that he was going to do. Was he going to continue to feed his fellow bondservants? Or was he going to put everything on hold, suspend everything he was doing, kind of drift back into whatever and make life miserable?
Suspend
for
his
those
campaign.
Who was
Rick, he
yes.
was going to suspend his campaign.
What we know is if that is, if this is accurate, and if he had suspended his work, the master would have come shortly thereafter And we would be living in the hell that is being described in the book of Revelation. And his master is going to return, and he's going to find him doing what he started doing in the very beginning. And it will be during a time of peace and prosperity. That tells me that in this upcoming election, will be reelected. And the time of trial, the time of testing men's and women's souls, what is in their intellect, God is going to give everyone on the face of the earth the opportunity to accept the truth or to reject the truth. Those who are called my sheep by the good shepherd, they will hear the truth, they will accept the truth, and they will join the flock of the good shepherd. But those who are not his sheep, they will not. And remember, he said, I lay down my life for my sheep. So those who reject the truth cannot say, but I'm saved by grace because I have faith in the Son of God. They are not his sheep because they reject the truth. When you reject the truth, you reject God because God is truth. Reject truth, you reject God. You love a lie, you're the enemy of God because you are the enemy of the truth, just like the religious leaders at the time when the Son of God was looking them straight in the eye and saying, blind? If you were, you would not be guilty. But because you say, we're not, your guilt remains. Think about what we have studied today and study. Thank you.
Thank you, Rick, and thank you all for being here. We encourage you to go to our website at spiritoftruthministry.net, take a look around. Our secondary website is spiritoftruthministry.net/S, T, M, and there's a lot of good material there as well. We encourage you to join us next Friday for another edition of The Bible on Trial, and a week from today at 10 a.m. for another edition of The Revelation of Jesus. So have a blessed day, be well, be safe, and we will, Lord willing, and the creek don't rise, we'll see you all next week. So long for now.